I think we know that the Psalms of the Bible, it gives us a sense of rising and falling, you know, on the journey as a Christian. Now, there are many peaks and valleys that are talked about, and this particular psalm is one that I believe takes us to a peak of faith and confidence in the Lord, and it demonstrates the joyfulness of His promises that he keeps and has kept. So I like to compare this psalm to two verses from Isaiah. That is Isaiah chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Tell the righteous it will be well with them, for they will enjoy the fruit of their deeds. Woe to the wicked! Disaster is upon them. They will be paid back for what their hands have done. So the psalm, it shows us to have confidence as God promises to His people that they will be kept safe and not always under the oppression of the enemy, but to those that turn to the crooked ways of sin, to the crooked ways of themselves, to those that are of this world and the flesh and the devil, there is also a warning that their actions will be judged and that they will be led away to be with the other workers of iniquity. This psalm demonstrates the life in this world, and the Christian can gain much confidence from it. The life of the blessing and the curse is set before us in this psalm, and it bids us well to learn it and sing it in joyful praise to God. If you would like to follow along, this is the New King James version of Psalm 125. A song of ascents. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and forever. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. Now going back to verse 1, as it reads in our Psalter for comparison, all who trust in the Lord will not be moved, like Mount Zion, which abides forever. So this first verse, it's a promise to the people of God. And if this promise does not promote confidence, I really don't know what will. Trust in the Lord, and you will abide forever. Like a mountain. Like the mountain of Zion. This is the Zion whose name came to refer to Israel as the people of God, as Isaiah chapter 60, verse 14 tells us. Also the sons of those who afflicted you shall come bowing to you, and all those who despise you should fall prostrate at the soles of your feet, and they should call you the city of the Lord, Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Zion is God's spiritual kingdom, and no enemies may lay siege upon it and win, as Christ is a cornerstone of its foundation. Isaiah chapter 20, verse 16 talks about this. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. So these are the words that it's saying. It's saying, trust in the Lord and you will not be moved. To trust anywhere else is vanity. And the more implicit such misplaced trust becomes, the more bitter will be the disappointment that will surely follow. Instead, if we trust in the eternal God, if we instill our confidence in Him, our safety shall be eternal. Verse 2. As the mountains that circle Jerusalem, so the Lord is ever around His people. So the mountains that surround Jerusalem not only sheltered it from winds and storms, but also made it very difficult for the enemy to access it. And this is how our Lord, our God is. God surrounds his people on every side. We can have confidence, as there is no gap in the hedge of protection which he has made around his people. Although walls and some mountains may break and wear down over time, or their bricks and rocks may be removed by man's hands, God's hedge of protection, his covenant with his people, cannot be broken. I've been listening to a talk from Vodi Bakum recently. It's from the 2014 Ligonier Conference. And he's teaching on Ephesians chapter 2. And it's about the world, the flesh, and the devil. And in it, he makes the point several times that we are hedged in on all sides. We are hedged in by the battle between us and the world, the flesh, and the devil. And, you know, that hedge is always surrounding us. But we can take confidence in the fact that we have God's hedge that is between us and it, if we allow it, if we put our faith in it, and if we practice his precepts, his laws, and we work to keep his covenant. So again, this covenant, he will not break it. Isaiah chapter 54 verse 10 states, "For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed." I'm sorry, my quotations are a little messed up. I think there's still one more bit. It says the Lord who has mercy on you. So again, "For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you." Make sure we get the right context on that. So as stated in verse 1, God's people have promises of stability and security that will continue through all their lives and that will continue unto heaven. Verse 3, "The wicked's rod will not strike the righteous, lest the righteous take part in wickedness." So the rod of the wicked does not rest, as we know, and their target, which they wish to strike, is usually the people of God. Although this rod may oppress us and his people, God's people, and strike their bodies, their homes, their liberties, their families, their names, or anything else that the righteous may possess, it will not, it cannot ever reach their souls. There is a danger, though, and I want you to pay attention to that. There's a warning here. And that is under prolonged circumstances, under this rod, that the righteous may turn to wickedness, may be provoked to sinful nature, being persecuted for their religion, for their beliefs. Under that pressure, it is easy to succumb to the wicked and their ways, and to do as the wicked do. There may be temptation to think that God has broken his promise to protect his people from harm and from these things that oppress us. In these times, though, I encourage you to not be disheartened. Remember this promise. Have confidence in God's word. God takes into consideration the integrity and the strength of his people and will proportion their trials to their strength by the care of his providence, as well as their strength to their trials by the power of his grace. In other words, God will not give us more than we can handle in our walk in faith, and we're to walk confidently, trusting in his grace and providences. So God has set a limit to the woes of his chosen, and the rod of the wicked may strike our life, but that rod will not rest upon it. Verse 4, "Do good, O Lord, unto them that are good, and unto them that are upright in heart." So this is a prayer of the psalmist exclaiming the happiness of those who are sincere in their hearts. That is, those that have rested in God, those who rely upon him and uphold their own confidence in him. We are to pray for good people, for the saints of the Lord. We should pray that those that display a love for God and his people are really as they seem to be. We are to pray for their continued walk in faith. Our psalmist does not pray for God to do good to for those that are perfect, sinless, and spotless, as that prayer would really pertain to no one, but instead, it is a prayer for those who are sincere and honest. Men, to be good at all, must be good at heart. They must work on themselves and, through the power of the Holy Spirit and sanctification, become more resolved in this confidence over time. Those who have confidence in the Lord are good, for faith is the root of righteousness and is the evidence of their uprightness. Faith in God is a good and upright thing, and its influence makes the rest of the man good and upright. And so we should pray well for those who do well. And when I say we are good, I don't mean that we are completely righteous and not without sin, but we desire good. And through time, through sanctification, we desire that more and more. And so we're not good within ourselves, but in the fact that we have faith in Christ, who is our Savior, who pays for our sins. And so finally, we have verse 5. As for those people who turn aside to pursue their own crooked ways in sin, the Lord will lead them out with the sinners, but there will be peace upon Israel. So here the psalmist makes it known what will happen to these workers of iniquity. He does not pray for it, but instead he is predicting it. Those that know the way of righteousness, but out of fear of the rod of the wicked, decide to turn to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead them away. Those that instead of reforming grow worse and worse and more obstinate and daring in their sin, God will send them away and he will cast them out. He will send them with the other workers of iniquity and give them their just punishment with the worst of the sinners. Sinful ways are crooked ways. Sin is perverting what is right. As defined in the Westminster Confession of Faith, sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. So God will lead those who transgress his law from his kingdom. He will lead them like a prisoner is led to execution, and any form of righteousness will not be mentioned. So with these last words, peace be upon Israel, they may be thought of as a prayer. I would say that it is a great prayer from which we can find great confidence. In this prayer, it is saying, God preserve his Israel in peace when his judgments are abroad reckoning with evildoers. We read them as a promise. Peace shall be upon Israel. The destruction of those who walk in crooked ways will contribute to the peace and safety of the church. When Herod was cut off, the word of God grew. Acts chapter 12, verses 23 and 24 says, then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him, because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied. So, from this growing and multiplying of the word, let us gain confidence. In every step in God's truth, may our own confidence be multiplied. May our good God bless us and keep us as we walk uprightly, proclaiming, peace be upon Israel. Peace be upon the people of God.